Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. A little less banged up edition this week for me, Jeff Crisco. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, how are you doing on this nice Sacramento evening?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's one day away from football, so that's always a good thing.
Bad it is, yeah, and it's the matchup, what might be an NFC Championship game matchup with the Vikings and the Rams. They're both kind of banged up. If you count Everson Griffin's demons that he's battling as being banged up. But who do you got in that one? LA and Minnesota.
You know, I think I'm going to go with LA unless somehow, some way Minnesota can show that they're not the team that lost to the Buffalo Bills last
week. That's very true. I guess they do lose all benefit of the doubt until further notice. When not only do you lose, but you get stomped. Like, you are never in that game. Like, it was a disaster.
Yeah, they always say kick the dog. I think they punted the dog.
They did Anchorman, where he kicks the dog off the bridge. Jack Black does. Baxter punted the bad man, or the bad man punted Baxter. You remember that? No.
Actually, I'm one of the few that never saw Anchorman.
Okay. I mean, it's fine. It's one of those movies where you're kind of, I could tell you're a little apprehensive to say that because people are like, how could you never seen Anchorman?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies like that where I just don't admit that I'd never seen them because I don't want to have that conversation.
Right, exactly.
I was like, oh yeah, I saw it. Man, it must have been like sophomore year of high school. I saw it so long ago, I barely remember it. that's the easy way out. I just go, you know what? It was on in the background, but really, it's just the stuff you know from the zeitgeist. So, all right. So this week, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. Websites, footballabsurdity.com. If you found us on iTunes or Apple Music or whatever they call it these days, you can go check out the website. We do weekly start sits, streamers, waiver wire. We have some unique features like hot takes from crazy people, where our lead editor, Evan Hoovler, goes and trawls comment sections. I bring it up every episode because honestly, it's my favorite thing that we do on the website. It's very unique and it's a lot of fun to read. Mike and I, every week, if this is your first time joining us, we take a look ahead at the upcoming week and we give some sleepers, one at each position, because we want to help you out. But sort of our deal is we're teaching you how to fish. So we give you an idea of what we're looking at for what might be actionable in next week's or this upcoming week's NFL contests. So Mike, you want to get us started with the with your sleepers this week? I know last week you had Joe Flacco. Who's your quarterback this week?
This week I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill.
And it's very surprising for me to say this, but he's done reasonably well. I mean, he's actually made himself into what could be a starter for bye weeks at the very least, and definitely great for two quarterbacks. Obviously, he's more of a PPR player than he is a standard, but even that sort of changed in a way where he's actually throwing for touchdowns and doing his normal running for yards. So I think he's making his way up. I mean, there's a reason why the Dolphins are 3-0, and he's a big part of that.
Yeah, you mentioned PPR. What do you mean by that for a quarterback?
Well, for a quarterback, it's definitely running yards, and how many running yards a quarterback can get is what you're looking for in PPR. So there's not that many quarterbacks out there that you would think that are actually mobile to I mean, mobile in a pocket is different than mobile for running for yards. And Ryan Tannehill is someone that is going to pick up the yards, like a Cam Newton is another example of a PPR type quarterback.
Okay. So it's rushing yards is what he gets you the secret yards, sort of like an Alex Smith does that too. He's always been sneaky with the rushing yards. And it looks like so far this season, Tannehill's got 25 yards in each of the three games, sort of averaging. So that's an extra 2.5 fantasy points that'll drop right into your bucket, just to Mike's point. So I like Tannehill. He's one of those guys that's starting to, I guess, get forced into the top 15 because everybody else is dying or falling apart. You know, my Niners lost Jimmy G. Marcus Mariota's banged up. You know, we lost two quarterbacks this week to byes, you know, Alex Smith and Cam Newton. So he's one of those guys that's sort of creeping their way up. My favorite of those guys is Andy Dalton. That's not my sleeper this week, though, because I think I talked about Andy Dalton last week and they went out and threw four interceptions. Like, made me look extremely, extremely intelligent. My guy, though, my guy is your guy, Joe Flacco. I'm going back into those waters. He did pretty well last week. He's done pretty well so far. Well, actually, he didn't do well last week, but the first two games of the season, he did pretty well. He's got 6 touchdowns on the season in 3 games, only 2 picks, which is pretty awesome. He's the thing that he's doing, though, is he's averaging just a hair under 300 yards per game. And that provides a nice floor, and that has a lot of to do with like dump offs to running backs and the fact that he actually has a decent wide receiver core for the first time in a long time with Michael Crabtree, John Brown, and Willie Snead as his third guy. He's only 20% owned right now. And he's taken on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who we all saw Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, he threw 3 picks, but he also tore them up in the second half, and they've allowed 10 touchdowns in 3 games. So you can score on them. You can score on them pretty easily. You can score on them with the deep ball, especially. That's why I like D-Jax last week. I think that John Brown has a good chance of getting a catch and run or a deep ball for, you know, maybe a 50, 60, 70 yard touchdown that inflates Joe Flacco's numbers. So he's my sleeper quarterback this week. He's only 20% owned. And I think he'll do pretty well this week.
Yeah. I like Flacco a lot, actually. So we'll see if he bounces back from last week, but he's doing pretty well for himself right now.
Yeah. He's and that goes back to the last, like, 5-6 games of last season. He was playing pretty well as well. So where do you want to go next? Wide receiver, running back? Who's your next sleeper this week?
So my next sleeper is Jordan Wilkins from the Indianapolis Colts. And I like the fact that they have Houston. I think they're going to be running the ball quite a bit to sort of not let the scores get out of hand. I don't know if the Colts are able to put up as many points as the Houston offense can. So I can see them running down the clock. And Jordan Wilkins is doing pretty well. He has a 4.0 yards per carry average, even though they're going to be splitting up a fragment of time with Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines. I see him more as a ball carrier than a third down guy. So he's going to get the majority of the carries. And so far, I think he has a 4.0 yards per carry average. And that says quite a bit. So look for him to sort of exploit that defense.
That's a good one. And to your point, you know, I liked Nyheim Hines, like you said, because of his third down ability in PPR leagues, because that's sort of his role. He's got that pass catching, but they need that first second down banger. They did cut Christine Michael this week. I think Robert Turbin comes back, but I'm not worried about Robert Turbin. I think that Wilkins is probably the best runner in that backfield. So that's a good call. My guy this week, it's going to take a little bit more, I guess, finesse, or to put it another way, BS, because this is sort of a gut feeling. Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones made his way back from suspension last week, running back for the Green Bay Packers. He was outsnapped by Jamal Williams, who's the incumbent right now, but he did get more carries. He had 6 carries, which is not a lot to write home about, but he managed to rip off 42 yards. And even though Jamal Williams out-snapped him, Jamal Williams was in there to pass block. So if they're running a play where it's going to go to the running back or where they're going to dump the ball out of the backfield, where they're not setting up for deeper passes, where they don't need extra pass blocking, I think that that's going to be Aaron Jones's wheelhouse this week. His wheelhouse might be wheel routes. They're playing the Buffalo Bills, who outside of the Vikings inexplicably giving Latavius Murray two carries last week. He was my sleeper guy. Like, come on, two carries to Latavius Murray. But other than that, they've been getting destroyed on the ground. Buck Allen scored a touchdown against them. Kenneth Dixon, Alex Collins, Melvin Gordon scored three touchdowns against them. They've given up six touchdowns in three games to running backs. And they didn't give up any last week. So that tells you how bad they did outside of that, the game against the Vikings last week. I just think Aaron Jones is a much better running back than Jamal Williams when he's in the open field, when he has the ball. I think he has a great opportunity to bust open a screen pass or, you know, the Cecil part, and he'll go for 65 yards and a score on one play. Sort of like a, this is the home run play at the running back position. He's pretty highly owned, but I don't think he's going to be very highly started this week. I tried to go to not highly started instead of not highly owned.
Yeah. With Aaron Jones, I just think if he can learn how to pass block, it would go a long ways for him. So Jamal Williams definitely has that over him, and he's a better pass catcher. So it's one way and one the other, and neither of them can make a full back. So it's one of those where you just never know.
Yeah, he's probably, a DFS play. I haven't checked his prices or anything, but he might be one of those, hidden gems for you in your DFS lineup. So who's your hidden gem this week at wide receiver? Who's your sleeper this week?
My sleeper is Mike Williams. I really think that he's starting to show up and become a wide receiver that the Chargers drafted him at the seventh slot. Also, I like the fact that
Jalen Richard Sherman.
Yeah, is banged up a little bit. I don't know if he's going to play or not. I don't know what they.
Oh no, he's out for the foreseeable future, next 2 to 4 weeks or so.
Oh wow, so he's definitely out, which is good news for Mike Williams, and I just think they're going to target him quite more. His back issues seem no longer there. He laid out for a great, I think it was like a 42 or 45 yard touchdown pass that he just made a wonderful grab on, and is looking exactly like the player that they hoped he would be. So I think as the games go on in that passing offense, he's going to start reaping some of those benefits, and it's going to start next week.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree. I dug up some numbers about how the 49ers were with Richard Sherman, and they were terrible. Like, they had nothing to do with Richard Sherman. He shut down a third of the field. He had one going into the game against the Chiefs when the Niners got shellacked and everybody got hurt. He'd allowed one pass, one catch on the season in two games. So even with that, the 49ers had the last two quarterbacks against them go for 310 yards and three scores, and they haven't picked off the ball. So it's a very bad pass defense there in San Francisco. And I agree, Mike Williams is probably a great bet to do well because the defensive backs are terrible. And the only help they have is Reuben Foster with short routes. And that's not going to help when they're bombing out deep downfield like Mike Williams probably will do. So I like that one. He's gonna destroy the Niners this weekend. I'm not looking forward to it. So my sleeper is Sterling Shepard. Last week he went 6 for 7, 80 yards and a score. Remember a couple of years ago when New Orleans and the Giants played and they had like 100 combined points? It was just a complete. It was like 47-53 or something insane like that. Just a complete shootout. Things went a little bit different last year because New Orleans defense was good. Well, I got news for you. New Orleans defense ain't good. Neither is the Giants defense. So I think it's going to be another shootout this year. New Orleans gives up the most fantasy points to wide receivers. So I think that that's a good place to start. is, you know, they can't stop wideouts to save their lives, because they're the new Saints are the old Saints. The last year's shutdown defense Saints are gone, so they're going to try to outscore you, and you got to score to keep up. Another thing I like about him is more than likely no Evan Ingram. Sounds like they already ruled him out for the game. And that means that there's more targets for him. Last year, I did sort of a quick comp, how Sterling Shepard as the number two option in the current iteration of the offense. So they were without Odell Beckham last year. He had 14.4 fantasy points per game in PPR without Odell last year. And to my point about number two wide receivers getting burnt, who did the Giants play last week? I'll give you a hint. Their number two wide receiver scored three touchdowns.
Wow. It was, who is it?
It was the Falcons. It was Calvin Ridley.
Oh, Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. He popped off for 146 and three. So, sort of taking that through line to this week to Sterling Shepard. And I want to defend myself really quick because last week, my sleeper that I was going to talk about and I wrote about him was Calvin Ridley, but you came in so deep with your sleeper with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I was like, oh man, he's owned in like 10% of leagues. I'm like, I can't say Calvin Ridley. He's owned in like 35%. So I went with Dante Moncrief. And if I had said Calvin Ridley,
I could retire.
That
would have been a gold mine.
Yeah. But here's the funny part is I was too banged up last week to do DFS. I had one of my best weeks in terms of calls and I couldn't turn them into money.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh. But my guy this week for wide receiver, Sterling Shepard. I feel pretty good about it. Just taking the through line from how he was last season and how the Saints suck and how Calvin Ridley destroyed him last week. Who's your tight end?
My tight end is Jesse James. And the tight end always seems to do some kind of production with the Steelers. The first 2 weeks it was James. Last week it was Vance McDonald.
Vance McDonald stiff armed Chris Conte onto the
IR. God.
He pushed him into next week. He pushed him into another dimension. Like that was literally the play that put him on IR. Like he destroyed him.
Yeah, he just laid him out. That was awesome. I love the reaction on the sideline too. I don't know what player it was, but
Hayward, Casey Hayward. He had he was just like, oh, like he was like a hype man and you know somebody about to get throw down for a fight.
Yep. Yeah, and yeah, that was awesome too. So the whole all around, it was just a great play. So Vance McDonald had his little fun, but now it's time to get serious and get back to Jesse James. And I think he's just going to light it up on Monday night. I mean, obviously he's not going to be someone that's going to catch 10 passes. He's not going to be Travis Kelce or Gronkowski, but you know, for someone out there that's not owning a lot of leagues and sleeper kind of guy, why not Jesse James on Monday night?
Yeah. Again, to defend myself, because I said I wasn't worried about Vance McDonald, and I went on a little rant about Vance McDonald. What did I say? If he's open, he's good. He was wide freaking open on that play, and then he destroyed Chris Conte. So I was still right, even though I was wrong. I just want to make sure. That's what's great about fantasy football. Even when you're right, you're wrong. Even when you're wrong, you're right.
Right. and I think he also mentioned his straight line speed, if I remember correctly. And yeah, he ran him just right over. So
yeah, and then he was gone.
Gone. Yeah. So that was another point. That's actually the point that sort of stuck in my head when I saw the play was his straight line speed.
Yeah, he took off. He was because he had great measurables at the combine, which is why everybody fell in love with him, was because he was quick and agile and big and strong, but he had hands like frying pans was the problem.
Yeah. Well, he caught that one caught a bunch of other people along his way. And
yeah, he caught that one. Nobody caught him.
Yep.
So my guy this week is, he's technically the number two tight end. So I'm going real deep on these sleepers. It's Dallas Goedert. Tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mac Hollins is on IR. Mike Wallace is on IR. Alshon Jeffrey is practicing, but he probably won't play, is going to be my guess. Jay Ajayi's banged up. Corey Clement's banged up. Darren Sproles is banged up. they're running out of options in the Philly offense. They have Jordan Matthews, but Jordan Matthews is terrible. So there is that. Did you see there was a video going around last week of Jordan Matthews already being in a midseason form?
No.
There is a video of warmups. Jordan Matthews just doing a route out into the flat. Nothing too crazy. Just a ball guy, just a team guy, just throwing him the ball, just tossing to it, just clang straight off his hands. I was like, oh man. I was like, if that's not peak Jordan Matthews, I have no idea what is, because that is the big thing that I always hated about him, was he can't freaking catch the football. So the thing with Dallas Goedert, doesn't have a great matchup, but that's just on paper. The first 3 weeks of the season, there were 9 targets against the Titans to tight ends. I mean, there just wasn't any opportunity for production. And the tight ends getting targets were Mike Gesicki got 2, Jordan Akins got 2, and ASJ got 5 in that very weird 9-6 game that happened last week that you can almost crumple up and just throw out. So I don't think they've been actually challenged by any sort of decent tight end that could do any damage against them. So that's my sleeper guy for this week is Dallas Goedert. So run it down real quick again. Mike, you got Tannehill, Jordan Wilkins, Mike Williams, Jesse James. I have Joe Flacco, Sterling Shepard, Aaron Jones, and Dallas Goedert as our sleepers this week. So that wraps up the sleepers portion of the show. And now we will turn to the games. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're just tuning in, which would be weird because it's a podcast, we go through every matchup this week and we just talk about what we're looking for. We're not going to say, hey, when you play Minnesota, you really should start Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. And for the Rams, start Todd Gurley, because that doesn't help you. That gives you 1 week advice. Mike and I are here to teach you how to fish, tell you what we're looking for to make decisions about what may or may not be actionable for next week. So like always, we're going to divide it up. I'm going to take the NFCs. Mike's taking the AFCs. If you want to follow along at home, we're going across the top of NFL.com and we'll just talk a little bit about each game and see what we're looking for in it. So first up, Thursday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings at the Los Angeles Rams. The Vikings are 1-1-1, and the Rams are 3-0. And Mike, before I get started in this, do you want to hear an interesting fact that I heard this week?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are more 1-1-1 teams. There's 4 of them: Minnesota, Cleveland, Green Bay, and the Steelers. There are more 1-1-1 teams than there are undefeated teams, because there's 4 of them, and only Miami, the Rams, and the Chiefs are undefeated. So that's pretty pretty wild, because there were 2 ties in the first 2 weeks, which almost never happens. But to the game. So here's the thing about the Rams is the Rams. They're going to do what they're going to do, and there's not going to be a lot of questions that can be actionably answered because they're so varied. They have so many weapons. The only thing that you can maybe look at is Jared Goff a quarterback 1 for fantasy? Is he like a quarterback like 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that range, because so many guys have fallen off? You have guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick who probably won't have a job much longer. So for the Rams, you just want to look and see, hey, does Jared Goff look like a quarterback 1, a top 12 quarterback? Because he looked like that last week. He had some insane throws where he was on the run and he put it just straight on the money, like almost out of bounds where only his guy could get it. He had some good throws last week. For Minnesota, can they bounce back from last week? It was just an abject disaster. I think they're going to be a lot better this week despite the elevated competition. My only worry is if Dalvin Cook is out again, which if it sounds like they kept him out on Sunday to get him ready for this game. So fingers crossed he'll be ready. But that's what I'm hoping for. And also I want to see Dalvin Cook actually take a step back or a step forward in his recovery, because he's only averaged 3 yards of carry this season. His fantasy stats have been kind of buoyed by he's been getting a lot of receiving yards. But 3 yards per carry from a banged up offensive line, him coming off injury, I want to see him get 15 carries for 80 yards. That would make me feel good about Dalvin Cook this week.
And he's capable. I mean, if he does play, he is definitely capable of doing those things. He's one of my favorite running backs, just because of all the things that he can do on the football field. So it'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Whenever I think of Dalvin Cook, I think of one run that he had last season, and there's a clip of it that I saw where it was from his back angle, and he's running towards a pile, and he does just almost a jackrabbit jump cut, and he clears out, and there's nothing but green grass in front of him, but that jump cut sprung him free, and that was the moment, because I was sort of iffy on him coming out of college. That was the moment I was like, oh, I was all in on Dalvin Cook. So I think he's a great talent. I think he's just working back from injury.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was sort of negative on him too. Both him and Kamara, I wasn't really trusting so much, but definitely proven wrong about both of them. So
yeah, I'd say Alvin Kamara is doing just fine.
he's doing all right.
He's doing pretty good. Next game on the list is the 3-0 Miami Dolphins, your current AFC East representatives, if the playoffs started today, taking on the scuffling, struggling, maybe they should blow it up. Maybe, you know, it's time for Bill Belichick to retire and Tom Brady to go with them. 1-2 New England Patriots, because their September struggles always last all season, right? They never just put it all together and make a huge playoff run.
No, never. No. They're not a playoff team whatsoever. Yeah. You know, and that you brought it up, that's a good point, because that was one of the points I was going to make about this. Is this is a very good test for the Miami Dolphins and their 3-0 team. Not only are they playing in Foxborough, but you know the things are going to change around for the Patriots. I really think that 1-2 record is something that's going to be tried to be fixed by this Sunday. And normally when you have a 1-2 team, you can say, okay, well, you don't expect much. But with the Patriots, you're going to expect a team that's 3-0 as well. And so I picked Ryan Tannehill as my sleeper because the defense is of the Patriots. So I think he's definitely going to exploit that. And, you know, it's definitely the Patriots are a Super Bowl team. The thing with Tannehill, what's interesting is that he's has 687 yards passing, which, you know, but the 7 TDs is definitely something that's impressive. Kenny Stills is pretty much the benefactor of what Tannehill's putting out there. He has 9 receptions for 184 yards and 3 touchdowns. But, you know, I want to see if Kenyon Drake can get something going. At this point, he is a full-blown timeshare with Frank Gore, which I really didn't expect at all. And as far as Frank Gore, he's outproducing him in yards. So, and even in touchdowns, I think Drake has 1 touchdown and Gore has none. So that's not even really by much. But to see Frank Gore, old man Frank Gore, outproduce Kenyon Drake, who a lot of people were hyped on and thought he was going to blow it out because of what he did at the end of last year, to struggle against Frank Gore, there's something definitely going on there. And then, of course, on the other side, you have Tom Brady. After Monday Night Football, I mean, after week one, he just really just has not been the Tom Brady that we know of him. Obviously, you could point to Julio Edelman not being there. But Gronk, he only has 1 touchdown this year, and that was in week one. I could see both having a big game this week, so the Dolphins are going to have to step it up. I'd like to see Chris Hogan get on track. He's not doing much. He's 4th on the team with receptions, just 2 more than Cordell Patterson. So Hogan, who was supposed to be the guy, or definitely one of the people that you thought would be one of the guys, is struggling, and it's so bad he's only has 2 more receptions than Cordell Patterson. And I also like to see Sonny Michel do something. You know, now that Burkhead is done, it's time for him to step up and see what he can do as a rookie. So that's one thing that I really want to see happen in this game. But Michel struggled. 3.5 yards per carry average with just 1 reception. And then last but least, we have Josh Gordon. And I don't know how much he's going to play. Obviously, he didn't play at all last week, which, you know, of course, that's going to happen when you just arrive to a new team. Your chances of getting on the field are practically none. But he definitely should be able to get on the field this week. But how much will be interesting to see, and how well he'll do in his sample size will also be something I'd be looking forward to. Don't be looking for a lot of points in this game, though. It's only the Vegas is saying only 47.5 points. So this week is going to be a very boring week, I think. I looked over all the points for most of the teams, and it just really doesn't look like Vegas has a lot of points in store for almost all the games. So it's going to be a very slow week. If you pick a week to travel during a Sunday week, this might be the week to do it.
Oh boy, the week that I'm going to sit at home and do nothing but watch football is a boring week. But no, I agree with you on this one with the Patriots, because there's a lot of moving pieces there, a lot of new pieces there, a lot of pieces that are getting reintegrated. And you're just like, I know Tom Brady's going to figure it out. I know Bill Belichick's going to figure it out. They've spent almost two decades doing just that, you know, turning chicken poop into chicken salad. But where is it coming from? Like, how's it happening this year? Is this actually the year that it doesn't happen, is what I'm kind of interested in seeing. But I agree with Sony Michel, a huge Sony Michel fan. I mentioned last week how he got a touch or he got a carry or a target on 12 of his 13 snaps. Last week, his volume went up again. I think he had 17 targets or carries. I think he had 14 carries, 3 targets. He's got to produce, though. You're right. 3.5 yards per carry is not going to cut it. But the Dolphins' defense is not great against the run. So let's hope something gives, right? Yes. Something's got to give. So for my interest, I hope it's the Sony Michel breakout game. Just like last week, Kerryon Johnson had his 100 yards rushing. Good job, Lions. But yeah, I agree with you there on what's going on with the Patriots side. And, you know, Frank Gore, man, you know, there's father time and then there's grandfather time. And that's what Frank Gore's working on right now.
He might be the only person to defeat time right now, because, wow, I mean,
yeah, I always say Father Time is undefeated, but Father Time might, you know, go 100 million and one, because I think Frank Gore might defeat him. My saying might be proven wrong. So yeah, that wraps up Miami and New England, and then a battle of two 2-1 teams. One of them surprisingly 2-1, because gun to my head, I would say that they were 0-3 surprisingly. But that's the Philadelphia Eagles and the weirdest team in football, the Tennessee Titans. What are you looking for this weekend for fantasy?
Yeah, and this one is even going to have less scoring, according to Vegas. They're only looking at 41 points for this game. So, Carson Wentz is going to have his second game back. I saw the Colts game last week, and Carson Wentz looks really good. He's mobile. He's doing everything Carson Wentz, you would hope Carson Wentz does. It didn't look like his injury held him back at all. I mean, if it was week one of the season, of the regular season, you would never thought he was hurt at all. So he's definitely back. He made some bonehead plays, but, you know, oh well. He'll bounce back. As you mentioned with Alshon Jeffrey, he was cleared, but we still don't know if he's going to be part of the offense. They have a lot of just a cast of characters at running back. As you were mentioning, Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, William Smallwood, Darren Sproles, when he returns, Jay Ajayi if he plays. But there's just a whole jam-packed backfield of running backs. Now the receiving core is going to be more full if Jeffrey plays, with the addition of Jordan Matthews, who had, I believe, 5 targets last week. So he definitely played a role in that offense. The problem is that I think Aguilar, with all these
a real bad role. Sorry.
What?
I said a real bad role.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, is yeah. So
he stinks, folks. He's bad. Sorry, continue, Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, he's bad. Someone who's not bad though is Nelson Aguilar, and you know, I don't know if his production is going to drop, and that's one of the things that I would like to see is with all these different moving parts that the Eagles have, is Aguilar still going to be the key focus as he was in sort of the first 2 weeks? He sort of shared time last week, but they went to almost everybody. Like you mentioned, you had Goedert as your sleeper tight end. He was involved. I think he caught a touchdown. And, you know, of course, you have Zach Ertz. And so the players that you would definitely put in your lineup are Ertz and Wentz. I think Aguilar might have a PPR side to him, but I just don't trust it with all these situations that are going on the team and how they're revolving the offense. This would be a very good test to see exactly if Aguilar remains the focus. But when you have all these players, it's just really hard to have someone that lead the team and be the guy or even second to the guy. So we'll see. And then Tennessee offers a whole different set of problems. And that is the offering of playmakers. They don't have really many, if at all. Deion Lewis has outperformed Derrick Henry, which I don't think anybody saw. Also, he's outperformed him in less carries than Derrick Henry. So that's pretty – I mean, if Deion Lewis actually had some size to him, he might make Derrick Henry invisible. But Derrick Henry has that role just because he's built to be more of the running back.
Yeah, he's got that you know, big banger body, even though he runs completely upright and can't shed any tackles. Hey, while we're talking about the Titans, breaking news. This might affect what you have to say. Rishard Matthews up and left the team. He's gone. What? He just peaced out. He pulled Avante Davis. Yeah. He's just up. This is as of a little bit ago. It came across Twitter. I was waiting until we talked about the Titans to bring it up. He's gone. So that makes that receiving core I don't know if it's more messier because he left because he wasn't getting any playing time, but yeah, he's toast. Just wanted to bring that up. He just completely left the Titans.
Did he retire or did he just leave the team?
He just up and left. They said his future is uncertain. He just peaced out. He might be back, but he just up and left the team.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the season of that, I guess. Vontae. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, well, that even limits the offense even more. So now we went from nearly nothing to basically nothing. And the only playmaker who's not even really a playmaker so far is, and I don't even know if you can put it on him as his fault, but Davis, you know, only 13 receptions, no touchdowns. And then when you have a various mix of Mariota and Gabbert, it's kind of hard for him, for Corey Davis to produce. But, you know, you also have to be a player out there and do your job. And obviously it's not working out. And as you're saying, they're definitely the surprise at 2-1. So I think they'll be 2-2 after this game. But, wow, what a just a mess. So the defense is what's keeping them in the games, and that's how they beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a complete mess there on offense, and you said it, Marcus Mariota, he can't feel his hand, or Blaine Gabbert. Those are your options. Like, just forfeit the game, man. Don't let anybody get hurt. You know, those are your options on offense. But hey, they won last week with that, but it wasn't very inspiring for fantasy football.
No.
So, yeah. So next up on the docket, it's one of my games. It's the Cincinnati Bengals at the Atlanta Falcons. Cincinnati's 2-1. Atlanta's 1-2. Atlanta is better than that. But they got smacked around on Monday night or Thursday night football to start the season. And they taking a little bit of time to get their legs under them. What I'm watching for this game, it's actually twofold, and it's kind of related. It is for the Bengals, Andy Dalton to Tyler Boyd, and for the Falcons, Matt Ryan to Calvin Ridley. Two connections that are working pretty well early on in the season for all parties involved. Andy Dalton had four freaking interceptions last week, but he has 8 touchdowns on the season. Matt Ryan has 10 touchdowns on this, or sorry, 7 touchdowns on the season in 3 games, but he had 5 last week and he had none in week 1. They both threw for over 350 yards last week. They both really are coming off very strong performances in terms of Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan. And both of those did that on the backs of their connections to Tyler Boyd for Andy Dalton and Calvin Ridley for Matt Ryan, providing them with the number 2 weapon to 2 guys who have honestly always been compared to each other since they've been in the league, AJ Green and Julio Jones, right? They've always been sort of compared to each other.
You know, an interesting fact about Julio Jones that I noticed over the 3 weeks, and of course, 3 weeks means nothing, but he had, I think, 19 targets in week 1. In week 2 and 3 combined, he's had a total of 15. He had 6 in week 3. Just 6.
Well, that's what happens when, you know, Matt Ryan gives it to when Calvin Ridley gets 146 receiving yards, there's only so many targets to go around because Calvin Ridley's always running it to the house, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, Calvin Ridley's sort of outperformed Julio Jones thus far this year, too, which...
Yeah, statistically they have he has, but I mean, he had as many touchdowns on Sunday as Julio Jones had all last season. So,
right.
But the real surprise in all of this is Tyler Boyd, because Boyd spent the first 2 years. I mean, he got 81 targets his first season, but he did nothing with it. So last year he only got a handful of targets, and then this year he already has 249 yards and 2 scores.
He was my sleeper guy last week too.
Yeah. So you nailed it. You killed it with Tyler Boyd. He's doing really well this year and he's been getting the targets. He's averaging 7 a game, which is a lot to get, and he's really reeling them in. So, that I would actually trust more than what's going on with Calvin Ridley. 'Cause with Ridley, it's only, you know, a very small sample size. Granted, he's only not caught 2 passes in the last 2 games, but at the same time, you know, the guy who goes for 146 yards and 3 scores, probably not the guy that you plug right back into your lineup the next week when he's never done it before. I'm excited. I want him to, you know, I always want to be correct, like I said about Calvin Ridley, but just exercising caution. I want to see another game from these guys because, you know, you don't want to get caught holding the bag on a flash in the pan from a guy like Calvin Ridley, because rookies will have inconsistencies. But what I'm watching for in this game has a lot to do with the quarterbacks to their secondary target. And I'm really ignoring the running backs because it's going to be backup running backs all around. Talented ones, Gio Bernard and Tevin Coleman, but I don't care. These teams are almost, you know, the weaponry that they have. It's almost like a mirror image of each other. You know, you have your, you know, top 5 in the league, wide receiver 1. You got your dynamic, shifty, pass-catching backup running back that's playing. You've got your tight end that's good for nothing but scoring touchdowns. Yes, that's what I'm saying about Tyler Eifert. And you've got your young, questionable wide receiver 2. So it's like, you know, there's an interesting set of weaponry on both sides that seems to mirror each other. And then the perennially league average quarterbacks running the show, you know, who will only be as good as the weapons around them. And they'll go as far as their offensive coordinator takes them.
Yeah. And I think we're seeing that a lot with Andy Dalton. He's doing well though. I mean, even though with those weapons around him and in the offensive line is definitely more solid, I like the way he's playing.
Yeah. So my next game, next one is Tampa Bay travels to Chicago, but battle of 2-2-1 teams. This one's pretty easy if you saw Monday Night Football, and it's is Fitzmagic dead? I mean, did you get a chance to watch Monday Night Football this week, Mike?
I saw a condensed game.
Condensed game. Okay. So you saw pretty much 3 passes in a row then of interceptions from Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, it was definitely a tale of 2 different halves for Fitzpatrick. He lost the magic and then
And they got it back. Imagine being me, okay? My league that got me into fantasy football, the league that I've been in since high school. The one that I say, it doesn't matter how many big money leagues or how much money you have on the line, you can put your house on the line for fantasy football. league, but there's one league that you always spend all your time on and all your effort and energy. And it doesn't matter how many experts leagues or big money leagues you're in. It's always the one from the one with the guys from high school. That's always the one, or the guys from college, or the league that you've been in forever. That's always the one that gives you the heartburn. And in that league, I got too cute. I benched Drew Brees for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I needed Ryan Fitzpatrick on Monday Night Football. And I was sweating. I was questioning everything that I'd ever done. But he finally came through with those touchdowns in the second half. So, but three interceptions in the first half. He's not a great decision maker. He never has been. That's never been his game. You know, I think the thing that most exemplifies Ryan Tannehill's terribleness that he flips is he had back-to-back years where he had 23 passing touchdowns one year, the next year he had 23 interceptions. Like, nothing better encapsulates the Ryan Fitzpatrick experience than that. So Jameis Winston is back. He's eligible to play again, and the only question is when does Ryan Fitzpatrick cough up the starting job? If they keep winning, even if he plays terribly, he'll stay in the role, I think. But for fantasy, you gotta start to see, you gotta get out before it's too late with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Try to trade him. I'm in a league where I had him and a bunch of quarterbacks are on the wire, chopped him, couldn't get anything for him. I dropped Ryan Fitzpatrick because I'm getting out from under that bomb. And I think that this week it's gonna be the beginning of the end for him. So that's what I'm looking out for in that game.
Do you think that if he throws, let's say he opens up the game with three interceptions, but they're up 7-3 at halftime, do you think that they bench him, or you think they're going to give him a lot more slack to sort of bounce back?
They're incredibly lucky if he throws three picks and the Bears only. Well, it is the Bears. I was going to say the Bears only get a field goal out of it, but they are the Bears. I mean, I think they will ride with him. I think they will shorten up the game plan if that's the thing. The only problem is they can't run the ball either. So yeah, it's not like they can just turtle it and give the ball to Peyton Barber. They can't run the ball either. So they're stuck relying on Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, for better or for worse. If he throws three picks and they're still up, I think he stays in the game.
Wow, that should be interesting. It's definitely not going to – I think the magic is going to run out, especially against those Bears. But, I think he'll stay in the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough defense for him to go up against. So I don't think that he will fare very well against them, if I could get the words out of my mouth. Next up, speaking of not faring very well – the Dallas Cowboys, they are trash poop garbage. They host the Detroit Lions, and it looks like Dallas will be without Sean Lee, which, cue shock, surprise, horror. Oh my God, Sean Lee is hurt. It's a soft tissue injury. Oh my God, it's his hamstrings again. I am shocked and surprised. It's not like this is what happens literally every time Sean Lee gets onto the football field. So because of that, I love the guy. I've been talking about him all year. So of course, the guy that I'm going to be watching and what I'm going to be watching for this weekend for actual information. Do they take LeGarrette Blount, throw him in the trash can? Do they take Theo Riddick, put him on the perch, flick him off the edge? Do they inexplicably still have Ameer Abdullah on the roster? Yes, but he will remain inactive. I don't know why he's still there.
I don't know either.
Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson's time to shine this weekend against a broke down Dallas running game. He is, check this out, he is second to Philip Lindsay in rookie yards per attempt, minimum 10 carries. So he's actually running on a yards per attempt. He's getting more than Saquon Barkley. Now, Saquon Barkley's doing great. It's the Giants offensive line that's letting you down on that one. So I don't want to get it twisted where I'm saying that Kerryon Johnson is better than Saquon Barkley. But in terms of production, I don't care how they're getting the production, whether it's Saquon Barkley, whether it's his offensive line. Kerryon Johnson is doing better. There were times last week where I was watching the game, Kerryon Johnson looked like the best player on the field. And that's a field that has Matt Stafford, his receiving options. He looked like the best offensive weapon for that team last week. And I think that starting this week, he's going to be a running back too, and he's going to be a running back too for the rest of the season. I think that this week, Kerryon Johnson grabs the reins. They flick LeGarrette Blount to the curb. They stop putting Theo Riddick in on passing downs, and this is going to be his offense to run because the Dallas Cowboys stink, so they can give that a shot. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I think that this week I'm looking for Kerryon Johnson to really solidify his position in the Lions' backfield.
You know, I still don't understand how he's not solidified already just because of what he's done, and he can catch the ball. So that reasoning is out of the window. So either they're just like, okay, what do we do with all these extra guys? Like you said, Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick and, you know, Blount and all those guys. But pretty soon you just got to face the facts and give this guy the ball and let him be who he is. And hopefully you're right on this game. And I think they're very close to it. And if it's not this game, then it better well should be. So take that, Detroit Lions.
Yeah. I think honestly what it is with that is that Matt Patricia came in and went to Jim Bob Cooter and said, JBC, Jimmy, you know, James Robert Cooter, Mr. Cooter. I just like saying Jim Bob Cooter.
Cooter.
You know, Jimmy B. Cooter. We're going to keep your offense. We're not going to change a thing. We're going to leave it how it is. And so Jim Bob Cooter went, oh, cool. So I can have my weird running back rotation that I love to have last year because everybody sucked. They have to consolidate the weapons because right now they're tipping their hand. They're throwing the ball to LeGarrette Blount, but that's not his game. They're tipping their hand if they keep doing this Blount, Kerryon, and Theo Riddick rotation where if Blount's in the game, he's running the ball. Theo Riddick's in the game, it's a pass play because Theo Riddick cannot run the ball to save his life. He can't pass protect very well. Kerryon Johnson gives them, they can do whatever they want with the ball. So they have to recognize that he is their running back Swiss Army knife, and he is the guy that they need to give the ball to. And I think that it's Matt Patricia needs to have a conversation. He needs to be a head coach. He needs to talk to Jim Bob Cooter and say, hey, quit bleeping around with Theo Riddick, with LeGarrette Blount. Put Kerryon Johnson in. He's our best running back. Put him in and leave him there. I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah, and, you know, it looked like it definitely starting to last week. Let's see if they fulfill it this week. And I'm right there with you. They definitely should.
Yes, they should. So, oh, man, alive. I'm getting tired of talking over here. This is the last one for me for a little bit. Next game is going to be Buffalo heads to Green Bay. A couple cold weather teams. Perfect. Put them in September. That makes a whole lot of sense. That won't be as fun. But the Bills suck. Don't let last week fool you. They are a terrible team full of garbage football players. So what I'm looking for this week is Green Bay. Like I already talked about earlier, I talked about Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams earlier. That was kind of a cop-out because I wanted to talk about them. But what I really wanted to talk about, what I'm really looking for this weekend is this the weekend the switch flips? Is this the weekend that Geronimo Allison becomes the second target in the offense and Randall Cobb gets relegated to the dustbin of history where 2018 Randall Cobb belongs? So you ready for some numbers? You ready for some numbers, Mike?
Yeah, give me the numbers.
Here are the numbers. Average depth of target, Geronimo Allison, 12 and a half yards down the field. Randall Cobb, 7 yards down the field. So you go, okay, you know, Geronimo Allison's getting the deep ball. Is he going to be less efficient? You know, is he going to catch fewer of them, but, you know, he's getting more yards? No. Geronimo Allison is getting 72. He's catching 72% of his passes compared to 63 for Cobb. So he's getting harder passes. He's getting deeper balls. But guess what? He's catching them at a higher rate than Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb's getting these little, you know, easy passes because that's sort of been a lot of Randall Cobb's game. You know, get the ball short, take the ball long. That was his game for a long time. But for some reason, despite Geronimo Allison being better in these two areas, you know, higher catch rate, deeper balls, Randall Cobb's been out-targeted three targets to two. So for every two Geronimo Allison targets, Randall Cobb's getting three. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think that it's time that they start giving more passes to Geronimo Allison, because like I was saying in the preseason, he has that mind meld with Aaron Rodgers. He is where Aaron Rodgers needs him to be, and that's why he's getting all these targets. And I think that they need to start to actively scheme him open to get the football in his hands, because he's quickly becoming Aaron Rodgers' second most productive target behind Davante Adams. So what I'm looking for this week is I'm looking for what they do with Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb, they being the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it's definitely time for Geronimo Allison. I don't know if they're keeping Randall Cobb around for just traditional sake or what, but Allison is definitely the better player there.
I think they're keeping him around because they're paying him $8 million this year. You know, it's one of those things where they're kind of, you know, damned if they do, damned if they don't. They're kind of stuck because of that price tag, and they couldn't justify cutting him. So next up is, it's your boys. So Houston, 0-3 Houston being hosted by 1-2 Indianapolis. Before we start talking about it, I got a question for you for the Colts.
Sure.
What's up with Jake Brissett getting the Hail Mary at the end of the game? Does that concern you about Andrew Luck's shoulder? Because they were telling us he's making all the throws, he's good to go. But then when the you-know-what hits the fan, Jake Brissett's out there throwing the Hail Mary.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with anything other than Brissett having such a much stronger arm. Luck was making some deep throws earlier in the game. He threw like a 40-yarder in the opposite side of the field. So he's fine. There's no arm issues whatsoever.
All right, I'm going to trust that you aren't, you know, Baghdad Bobbing me, saying everything's fine, everything's fine, while Iraq blows up behind you.
Yeah, all right. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here, folks. So what are you looking for this week in Houston and Indianapolis?
So definitely not, as far as record-wise, a great game, but this should be a fun game nonetheless.
Don't forget last week's AFC South, you know, shootout, slobber knocker.
Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Yeah, Titans Jags with 15 combined points.
Yeah, 9-6. Oh wow, that was wow. I was glad I didn't watch that one. And this one might not be much better because they're looking at 47 total points in this game. So yikes. With the Colts winning by one. You know, I am surprised that Houston is 0-3. They don't really look like an 0-3 team. Watson is playing solid. He's not playing great. He's not playing as the number four quarterback as everybody had him ranked outside of me. And I don't know if you had him ranked that low. Probably not. I wouldn't. I think you had him as didn't you have him like much lower than that?
I'm sorry. What was that? You cut out for a second.
No, Watson. Did you have him much lower than the fourth quarterback?
I think he was eighth, ninth for me.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys that I was zigging or zagging very far away from the consensus on it.
Yeah, me too. And so he's not playing anywhere near what the consensus had him as, but he's doing adequate. His rushing yards are pretty high at 120. So he's definitely adding that PPR bonus to those leagues. And interesting enough, Lamar Miller is running a 4.0 yards per carry, which is something that he has not done since coming over from Miami. So he's actually hit that 4.0 mark. But
2014 fantasy football Twitter is so happy right now because they were finally right about Lamar Miller.
We got it right.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, sorry, continue. It's just so funny. Lamar Miller, every year, people act like they, like he personally lit them down when they had unrealistic expectations for him.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he's just an average runner, and we're seeing that. Also, what's kind of funny, too, is that you'd expect him to at least have a touchdown by now, but he hasn't even done that. So, 4.0 yards average, but no touchdown. So, one for the other, and we'll see what fills up first. Hopkins is doing hop things. He's 20 receptions for 274 yards, but he himself only has one touchdown, which, you know, in three games, that's not too bad.
We saw with Calvin Ridley, they come in bunches sometimes, you know, so touchdowns, I'm not too worried about.
Even if you get, you know, that should he'll and it might be against the Colts too. So it's he's definitely a starter. Watson is a starter, you know, unless you have Mahomes or something to that effect. But you definitely, those are the two starters that you want to put in. Fuller, maybe in a flex option. With the Colts, they are playing some. Actually, they're playing pretty good defense. Even though if you look at just their stats, you're going to say, what are you talking about? But they give up a lot of yards. They're the definition of a bend but don't break kind of defense. And so they are going to put some pressure on Houston. I think that Watson's going to probably throw for some good yardage and run for some good yardage, but they're not going to be able to put up those points that are so important. The one thing that I'm looking for for the Colts is to open up that offense. They are just throwing short passes, and it's almost like they're in protect mode. They don't want Andrew Luck to stand in the pocket so he can throw the long ball. So let's just give him short passes, so he doesn't get hurt. And I think they're overprotecting him. In fact, Luck only has a 5.3 completion percentage. So every pass that he throws is only going for about 5 yards, which is not good. You definitely want it mid six to high, higher than that. And at 5.3, yeah, not doing the job, which is one of the reasons why they're not scoring so many points.
Yeah, he's dinking and dunking, you know, with that, you know, throwing it that short of the sticks every time is not great. You know, that yards per attempt is.
Yeah, it's
bad,
it's,
news bears. And I think it's the worst in the league, actually.
It probably is, because it's awful. And he's very accurate with his passes. I mean, as much as you would think he should be with a 5.3, but it's time to say, okay, let Andrew Luck be Andrew Luck and open it up, or they're just going to just soup can themselves and not be able to get free, and it's just going to look ugly. So they're going to have to run the ball well, and hopefully Hilton, who's having, you know, a pretty good season, he's sort of benefiting from the fact that Andrew Luck isn't going deep. So he's missing those big plays, but he's catching a lot. He's catching the passes. He's the main receiver. Now they start to stretch the field more, you're going to see Hilton have better numbers than what he's putting out now. And I really think that they're going to start moving. I think he's 32nd or 33rd on the fantasy wide receiver list, but I still see him as a 15 guy. I think top 15, if they open up the offense, which they're going to have to do sooner or later. And I think this week we're going to see that. So, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if their offensive lineman, Costanzo, is out again this week. I'm not sure on that, but hopefully they'll get him back soon, and that'll help open up that offense quite a bit.
Yeah, and that's really what they need, is they need to be opened up, and I think that's a big problem, is they're worried about Andrew Luck getting hurt again, so they're doing a lot of dinks and dunks and all that good stuff, and that's not good stuff for his production and your fantasy football production.
Yeah, it's really hurting the overall offense.
Yeah, so next up on the docket is another game for you to talk about. I'm just going to kick back, sit back. Sam, don't call me Hey Arnold, Darnold. And the 1-2 Jets travel to Jacksonville to take on Blake Bort. Blake, don't call me Bort Bortles. oh, man. Just all kinds of cartoon names for these guys, these two cartoon jokers. What are you looking for in this one, other than the Jags actually scoring a touchdown this week?
Yeah, right. You know, the strongmen, they have the you know, muscle show, they have the gun show, and this week we're going to have the run show, and it's going to be all running. So if you're a fan that is likes to watch the air it out kind of game, this isn't the game for you, because it's going to be low paced and low scoring. Vegas at 38 points. And
dude, buddy, my God.
Yeah. And the Jets are favored by a touchdown. So this game is just going to be awful. For the Jets, both Kroll and Powell are having good seasons. They're both doing really well. Each at a 4.5 yards per carry average. Crow has scored four times. So I was big and down on Crow. I didn't think he would do anything this year. But so far, I'm completely oppositely wrong about that. So I'll take that. It's more their passing game that's been struggling, as we've seen with Sam Darnold. He came out well when he came in and replaced what's his name? And but since replacing him, he just hasn't been special at all. He's been a rookie.
I mean, that's what he's been.
Yeah, he's been a rookie. He's definitely having the growing pains. Three touchdowns versus five picks. Something we both thought was going to happen. We really expected the touchdowns to be low and the interceptions to be high on this guy. But they rarely throw. So it's the running game. At wide receiver, Anua, Pryor, Anderson just have a total of 31 receptions. So all three of guys, combine all three guys, they only have 31 receptions. So you're looking at like 10 per guy. So they're not at all throwing the ball, as I keep saying. And in that way, only Powell and Crow are viable starters. And I think Kroll is a good flex option if you have it. If you don't, then, you know, he's going to be someone that is a good bye week replacement or injury guy. So keep a hold of him. But if you have definitely some better options, go ahead with that. In Jacksonville, you know, Bortles is doing okay. He has five touchdowns and two interceptions. But we know it's all about Leonard Fournette. If he can stay healthy, they just ride him all day long. The receivers, Keelan Cole and D.D. Westbrook, have done most of the damage, but neither are worth starting on either side. They're just basically deep roster requirement kind of players. And, you know, even with Fournette, you have to put a lot of faith into someone that probably is going to get injured the next game he plays. So he's definitely starter worthy, but whether he can continue to stay healthy is always a big if with that guy.
Quick question for you in the Jets. What do you think of Quincy Anunua in PPR? He seems to be getting the bulk of those receptions that you mentioned.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the leaders, but they're all close-knit guys. They're all separated by one or two kind of play or reception. So it's almost like the Jaguars. They're like mirror. With the Jaguars, you have Keelan Cole and Dante Moncrief and D.D. Westbrook. Well, those are your Robbie Anderson, Quincy Nuwas type of guys. So they just don't throw enough to represent a starting requirement or even a flex option, I don't think.
All righty, fair enough. Speaking of a couple teams that haven't given us a lot to start this week, the Seahawks travel to Arizona for an NFC West matchup. And looks like Doug Baldwin might be back this week is what I saw come across Sleeperbot earlier today. I'm not trusting that in his first week back, especially given how the offense looks for Seattle. What I am looking for is Josh Rosen. Seeing how Josh Rosen plays in his first NFL game. They put him in weirdly at like the last 4 minutes of the game with the game on the line last week. It was a mind-boggling decision that they made. But I'm looking to see how Josh Rosen plays. He's the future there in Arizona, or at least they hope he is. See if maybe he breathes some life into this offense. They get David Johnson working again. Larry Fitzgerald gets back on track. And maybe Christian Kirk can keep up his strong pace to start the season. Basically, Arizona passing game is a mess. Is there anything that they can salvage from it with Rosen behind center? That's basically what I'm looking for this week. Is Christian Kirk fool's gold? Is Larry Fitzgerald somebody we're going to want to try to trade away on name recognition alone? Not a lot to look at there just because there's not a lot to work with Josh Rosen so far, because that's what I'm looking for this weekend. Is Arizona going to be worthwhile going forward to have any of them on your roster other than David Johnson?
Yeah, I have both Fitzgerald and David Johnson, so I'm hurting life right now. Fitzgerald is not even hasn't seen the day of my lineup since week two, so I guess I benched him last week, and yeah, he's not seen my lineup this week either.
Yeah, and I mean, not until further notice, I don't think is he's a guy that you can absolutely trust at all to put into your lineup unless it's like a wide receiver, you know, a flex in a league where you start three wide receivers, like just because, hey, he's going to get targets. Quality of the target's been awful, but hey, he's going to get targets. So speaking of terrible targets and bad teams, Cleveland and Oakland, I don't even know what to say. They have one win between them. They have one tie between them and four losses between them. This game is going to suck out loud, and I am very upset that it is probably going to be a game that I'm going to watch instead of the 49ers getting shellacked by the Chargers. But what do you have to look for in Cleveland and Oakland? And just get the Niners and Chargers out of the way, too.
Okay, double duty. Okay.
Double duty because I don't want to dwell on that Niners-Chargers game as, you know, a second longer than I have to.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit. Yeah, a lot of bad news for you guys. So with the Cleveland-Oakland, you definitely I'm going to look to see how good Baker Mayfield is in his first start. You know, I think this is a great, great start for him against the Raiders. You're not playing him against the Bears or anything like that where he'd probably just get eaten alive. So having him making that start against the Raiders, I think it was a really good call. I mean, he was probably going to start anyways, but this is a good benchmark. The other thing on the Raiders side is it seems like Amari Cooper is either one game up and a game down. We'll see if he turns it around this week after having, I think, one reception last week. So will he catch 9 passes again this week? I don't know, but we'll see. With the Browns, what's really interesting, I think, is how much Carlos Hyde is dominating that running game. I really thought there would be a timeshare between Hyde and Chubb, a very much closer one than what it is. Hyde right now has 61 carries to Chubb's 7.
But yeah, I saw Chubb's carries today, and I triple checked them because I did not believe that.
Yeah, me neither. I was shocked. So it's but not only am I shocked by the distribution, I'm also shocked that the fact that Carlos Hyde is only rushing for 3.3 yards per carry. So why aren't they giving Chubb the ball more often? And if Chubb is in a small group, has 7 carries for 41 yards, he's obviously doing a better job in that small of a section. Of course, if he had 61 carries, who knows what he would be at. But he's not like Ronald Jones carrying the ball 7 times and getting 5 yards here. So obviously he's doing something. So I don't know how long they're going to continue that or how long that's going to be a situation, but I'd really like to see Chubb get more involved in the offense. Jarvis Landry right now is on another 100 catch season, on par for that, which and we both knew he was going to catch a lot of passes. But I don't think we thought he was going to be up at that mark. I think we both had him at like at 75, 80 receptions. And to see that, he's definitely been one of the reasons why the Browns have been in every single game they've played. So, but also he's regressed back to the Jarvis Landry of old as well, with he hasn't scored a single touchdown this year either. So it's definitely 100, you know, he's going to be that 95 catch guy with 3 touchdowns. So he doesn't look like he.
I don't think so with Baker. I think a lot of that had to do with Tyrod Taylor not throwing the ball.
Yeah, and that's very true. That could very well be a situation where worth monitoring. You know, so he could definitely turn it around if Baker Mayfield can be the number one pick that they chosen for. So this will be a good game to see what exactly how that transpires. Now, the Oakland Raiders are a mess. They're obviously 0-3, so they are a mess. And I'm about to go into why they're such a mess. So, number one, the biggest question is anyone worth actually starting in Oakland? Lynch can't get more than 3.5 yards per carry.
Marshawn is definitely worth. No, he's definitely worth starting.
But he's scoring touchdowns, so that's what's getting him the start, is that he's scoring touchdowns. But he's not running the ball well at all. I mean, 3.5 yards per carry is not good. Jared Cook, he's a hot commodity for the tight end, but leads the team in receptions. So here we go. Here we go with the downfall of the Raiders and why they're such a mess. So you have the tight end, Cook, who leads the team with receptions in 18. Jalen Richard is second on the team with 15. And Cooper is third at 13. So, I mean, that you got your tight end and your running back having more receptions than Amari Cooper. Yikes. And then Nelson's up there as well. I think he has two less receptions than Cooper. And so everything is just backwards for the Raiders. It's a mess. And you could point to one guy, and that's John Gruden. He definitely doesn't have a very good structure going on where you can count on any of these guys. Like I said, I think Lynch with his touchdowns is definitely someone you're definitely – I'm not going to say not start him, but you definitely want to ask your question, is he worth starting? And the same way with Jared Cook. Even though he leads the team in receptions with 18, he's still Jared Cook. He's still tight end, and he's not named Kelce or Gronkowski. So,
well, and to your Jared Cook point, he has 18 receptions, but 12 of them were in week one.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, that's all you need. That's the Jared Cook experience right there.
It is. And if you look at his history, he always has like three games where he's just going to blow it out. And then he gets tired from blowing it out and will be MIA for 5 weeks.
It's almost like Jared Cook is bad.
Yeah, he's very bad, not consistent. That's true.
I feel like every year I have the same dumb conversation about Jared Cook. Everybody's like, well, he's a physical marvel and this, that, and the other. It's like, yeah, well, he can't catch the football to save his life. And he'll, like Vance McDonald, every once in a while he'll make me look stupid. But guess what? I will never go broke betting against Jared Cook.
Exactly.
That's the route that I'm taking with that. So I agree with you there. Jared Cook stinks out loud. All right, Niners Chargers, get it over with.
Okay, I'll be quick. I'm gonna
sit here and hold my week two giveaway from the 49ers game, my Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead, while you talk.
Oh, it's brutal, so brutal. So how well will CJ Beathard perform, and is Mike Williams for real? So basically, the 49ers offense sucks outside of Matt Breida and Alfred Morris, but it's definitely a run game, run team. 72 attempts, second. So it's with Breida and Morris, I think you're definitely having two options there that you go with. But what's interesting is that Breida is just, you know, he increased his yards per carry average after I thought he would decrease it. He went from 7.9 to 8.6. So that, I don't know if the guy's stoppable at all, but he's the shining star right now with the 49ers and probably the only guy that's worth starting at all. And now with the Chargers, I like Mike Williams. That offense is explosive. Phillip Rivers with 8 touchdowns with just one pick. So, wow, that's, you know, up there with Mahomes kind of level. Gordon is doing his thing with – he's actually above 4 yards per carry. So that's another interesting fact that I didn't think I'd ever see. With 172 carries, 172 carries. 172 yards.
That seems like a lot. I know they work him into the ground, but that seems like a lot after three games.
That's just a little bit more for Gordon that you know, yeah, we'd take. That's 172 yards and two touchdowns. I almost had to read that twice. Also has 17 receptions and two more touchdowns. So he's putting up doing his thing, you know, just catching the ball, scoring touchdowns, just doing his thing. Plus, on top of that, he has his 4 yards per carry average. Also he's definitely a starter. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You're going to definitely start Keenan Allen. Mike Williams, as mentioned, is definitely a secret play. He could be one of those where you can work in flex with bye weeks starting to happen now. He has 11 receptions, 489 yards, and three touchdowns, and getting the ball from Rivers, the deep ball from Rivers. So it's this offense is a juggernaut, and I think almost, you know, Gordon, Rivers, and Mike Williams are, and of course Keenan Allen are your plays.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't forget my boy Keenan Allen. He apparently got a little banged up in practice today, so that's something to look out for. Going into this weekend, is he might not play too much. So all right, Jimmy, we'll miss you. We'll see you next season. It was a fun 8 games for 49ers fans when they didn't suck out loud. But next game, New Orleans Saints and New York Giants. Here's the thing. Sterling Shepard, that's all you have to look at in this game. Everything else is going to go as to script. Odell Beckham's going to get his. Saquon Barkley's going to get his. Eli Manning will probably play well just because the Saints suck. For me, what I'm watching in this game, I'm just going to enjoy it. You know, we look at every game as sort of a, okay, what does this mean? I mean, that's the whole gist of what we talk about during the regular season of this podcast is what are we looking for in these games? New Orleans, New York, just sit back and enjoy it. Because Drew Brees puts on a masterclass, and I don't know if there's anybody else in the league that can orchestrate an offense as well as he can right now. And he's still doing it. Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, just enjoy watching it. If there's anything that you want to look at, see which one of the secondary guys catches passes. Does Ben Watson, now that he's back, is he going to be a good option for Drew Brees? Because he's always liked the tight ends in the past. But I'm just going to enjoy this one. It's going to be a shootout, more than likely. It's going to be fun to watch. It'll be a nice palate cleanser from all the other junk that we had to watch earlier in the week and or earlier in the day. So that's just there's not really anything actionable to look at in this game. It's, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes games are just going to go how you think they're going to go, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's definitely one of them where, Michael Thomas and Drew Brees are going to do well. And you know that Saquon probably is going to bust one. I'm interested in seeing how well Sterling Shepard is. You picked, I think, it's a good sleeper pick, especially the way that defense has been sort of slacking comparable to last year. So I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to look for in that game is to see how Sterling Shepard does. Everything else I'm just going to kick back and enjoy. As a Drew Brees owner in a boatload of leagues and an Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees owner in my most worried about league. So, all righty. Next one up is I'm throwing it back to you. Sunday Night Football, probably one of the NFL's current premier rivalries. The Baltimore Ravens go to Pittsburgh, take on the Steelers. What are we looking for in this one?
Yeah, and as you were saying, after watching just and sleeping through probably most of Sunday, this game should be high quality, high scoring game, which will probably end up being 7-6. But
yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah. So this is definitely going to be the air show. You know, the Steelers, the way they just have their offense, I don't think there's too many teams that if you could take out the best player in the NFL and say throw him out and still be as potent as offense as the Steelers are. And I have to hand it to them that taking out Le'Veon Bell or him not playing or whatever the situation may be, and the Steelers performing at the level they're performing is definitely something that is tipping my hat to them. So with that said, James Conner is definitely holding fort. He's not Le'Veon Bell, but he's doing pretty well. 213 yards and 3 touchdowns while catching 15 passes. But we all know it comes down with Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Juju Smith-Schuster. And those guys are just lighting up the air. Juju has 27 receptions for 356 yards and a touchdown, while AB has 42 receptions for 210 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Ooh, sounds so, like Antonio Brown to me.
Yeah, it's a lot of catches, minimal yards, and touchdowns. And that's AB in a package right there. As far as the Baltimore Ravens, Joe Flacco is playing pretty much outside his mind. 889 yards passing with 6 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions. Alex Collins, doing reasonably well, but it's really the Buck Allen show. He's just outshining Collins in a very much less limited role. He's better in the passing game, and he's getting the touchdowns. So Alex Collins might get the yards on the ground, but it's really the Buck Allen show there on the ground. And then in the air, you definitely have a much spread offense with Crabtree, Brown, Andrews, and then, of course, Buck Allen is also there to catch some passes. So even though the offense is strong, it's unreliable who the main targets are outside of probably Crabtree and Brown, but it's so spread out that Brown and Crabtree are going to be flex options. They're not someone you could say, okay, he's going to be my number one receiver or my number two receiver. They're pretty good options as flex, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good assessment of them, is that they're number two guys. And, you know, if you get anything else from them, that's gravy, because that's all you can reasonably expect from them is, number two wide receiver production. So, all right, last game of the week. Last game of the week is going to be a AFC West showdown. The hottest team in the NFL, offensively, the Kansas City Chiefs, go to Mile High, take on Denver. Defense isn't what it was in the past, but this Chiefs offense isn't what it was in the past. So what are you looking for in this one?
In this one, it's going to be air versus ground.
I like that.
The Chiefs are favored by 5 points, but it's going to be a pretty explosive Monday Night Football game. We're going to definitely be looking for Patrick Mahomes. He's just done reasonably outside of his mind. 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 66.7 completion rate. Just amazing football. Somehow Mahomes has gotten Hill, Watkins, and Kelsey all involved in high levels. I'm still concerned about Kareem Hunt. He has 3 touchdowns, but has done nothing on the ground. 3.2 yards per carry average, and just 1 catch. And you know, when you have 3 guys like Kelsey, Hill, and Watkins, it's hard to get Kareem Hunt involved. But right now, he's just not, outside those 3 touchdowns, he's not doing anything with the ball. So I don't know what's going on there. I know that you think there's nothing to worry about, and right now I believe you. There's nothing to worry about, but that ticker is starting to tick a little bit here. So we'll see what happens against Denver. So obviously you're going to start Mahomes.
Real quick,
huh?
If you started Kareem Hunt last week, were you happy?
Yeah, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, baby.
And I still think you should start him, but if he's not getting you touchdowns, then just yuck. You definitely still need to start him, but we'll see. Hill and Kelsey are startables. Of course, Mahomes is. Watkins is sort of that flex guy at this point. So even though he's not too far behind Tyreek Hill, he's still not reliable enough to be an every week starter. Now with the Denver, it's their ground game. Philip Lindsay and Freeman are having a great 1-2 punch Lindsay with 198 yards on the ground. Freeman at 152. Freeman has the touchdowns with two, comparable to zero to Freeman. I mean, zero to Lindsay. In the air, you're looking at Demaryius Thomas and Sanders. They're the only two guys that are involved in the offense while throwing the ball. I would hope Jake Butt would be more involved, but it doesn't seem that way. So, and even with DT and Sanders, it's a small sample. DT only has 16 receptions. Sanders is at 19. So it's hard to say, okay, well, Jake Butt, let's get you receptions when both DT and Sanders only have 35 combined, and they're just not going in the air.
And Sutton takes what they don't take.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So,
all right. Well, pretty good bow that we placed there on week three. So, you know, take what we told you to look for in these games, trying to teach you folks how to fish instead of telling you start this person, sit that person. You never learn. You just learn to listen to us, which doesn't, you know, your enjoyment of the game doesn't grow. Even though, shout out to my sister, I'm helping her with her her fantasy football team, and she's 3-0, her first ever fantasy football team. So
right,
shout out to my sister. You know, she took a beer sheet off the site. She gets all of her advice off of the site. So pretty good test run for how well Football Absurdity does. So thanks for listening, everybody. You know, check us out, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever the heck the kids are calling it these days. We're there. We're at Football Absurdity on Instagram, where we don't post and we'll never post. We're at Fball Absurdity on Twitter. I'm JM Crisco. That's K-R-I-S-K-O. JM Crisco, like the oil, as far as I know, doesn't exist, though I should probably snatch that up. Mike's RFL Red Zone on Twitter. Mike, you have a bunch of other podcasts. You want to talk about any of them? I know you have like the Dino Cast. You have some other places where people can check you out.
Yeah, I do a Fantasy Football Freaks with Nico Sagana, and also do, I think that's it. Those are the three I mostly do.
There you go. Yeah, so check Mike out there. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about week five already. This season just started. We're going to be 2/3 of the way through the fantasy football season, or 1/3 of the way next time we talk. It comes quick, folks. It comes quick, and that's why you got to make sure you're on top of everything. So thanks for listening, everybody. Everybody have a great one. Mike, good talking to you. Have a good night.
Bye. You too, sir. Thank you.